It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. We're going to begin today at the U.S. Capitol, where some history was made this morning. The late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has become the first woman to lie in state.
Ready, stop. Ready, stop.
Members of the U.S. Armed Forces carried her flag-draped casket into the Capitol Rotunda. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi opened the ceremony.
I have the high honor to welcome Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg to lie in state in the Capitol of the United States. May she rest in peace.
Ginsburg's lasting legacy was advancing women's rights in the workplace, but her abortion politics put her at odds with many Christians. Rabbi Lauren Holtzblatt delivered the eulogy.
May the memory of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Yita Rucho Batziro Leah, forever and ever be a blessing.
Ginsburg died of cancer last week at the age of 87. She is only the second Supreme Court justice to lie in state. William Howard Taft was the first. Ginsburg will be buried next to her husband at Arlington National Cemetery. President Trump reveals his pick to replace Ginsburg tomorrow, and political pundits predict it could be a game changer with just 39 days to go before the election.
If a president can have three Supreme Court picks in his first term, imagine what a second term could mean for that court.
Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms expects Ginsburg's seat to be filled before November 3rd.
I think that what we're looking at is probably an October 26th vote just before the election. And I think what will happen is that will remind the Trump voters why they supported President Trump in 2016 and drive them to the polls in 2020.
Other pundits predict the president risks alienating undecided voters if he fills the seat before Election Day. Police in Louisville declared an unlawful assembly last night as protesters smashed windows and stayed past curfew. The unrest, the result of that grand jury decision in the Breonna Taylor case. Family attorney Benjamin Krupp.
There seems to be two justice systems in America. Mm-hmm. One for black America and one for white America.
Krupp appeared with the mother of Breonna Taylor at a press conference in Louisville this morning. Louisville's mayor calling for calm.
What do we do with this pain? There is no one answer, no easy answer to that question, but I do know this. Violence is not the answer.
Pastor Daryl Scott says real change can only happen through legislation, not lawlessness.
When Martin Luther King protested in the 60s, it was peaceful protest, but it led to legislation. This now is just chaos. The streets of America are on fire.
He fears outside agitators are fanning the flames of violence, and it won't stop anytime soon.
If the election doesn't turn out the way they want it to turn out, if they don't get the power they want, we're going to have more of the same.
Two dozen people taken into custody last night in Louisville, including a Kentucky state senator, correspondent Jerika Duncan.
Demonstrations in Louisville began peacefully but escalated after the 9 p.m. curfew. Police started arresting protesters, including some carrying hammers and spray paint. A local church offered sanctuary for some protesters, but police arrested many outside of it.
Former athlete and activist Charles Barkley says those who desire to defund the police are only hurting themselves.
To really be careful when we talking about defund the police and things like that. Who are black people supposed to call? Ghostbusters?
One of the two Louisville cops shot by protesters two nights ago has been released from the hospital. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says the president will accept the results of a free and fair election. She wonders why that same question is not posed to Joe Biden.
You have that beautiful quote from Hillary Clinton that Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstance. So your question is more fitting to be asked of Democrats who have already been on the record saying they won't accept the results of an election.
Mr. Trump refused this week to commit to a peaceful transfer of power, given all the uncertainty surrounding mail-in ballots. But party heavyweights predict there will not be a constitutional crisis here.
We will accept free and fair election results. No doubt about it.
People wonder about the peaceful transfer of power. I can assure you it will be peaceful.
We've had an orderly transfer of power every 4 years. years since Washington. That will happen again to the winner of the November 3rd election.
President Trump and Joe Biden expected to get asked about the peaceful transfer of power during next Tuesday night's presidential debate. There was a stabbing today in Paris, France, and it happened not far from where Islamic terrorism reared its ugly head 5 years ago.
Police in Paris have arrested a man after the stabbing. Eyewitnesses said he attacked people just outside the former offices of Charlie Hebdo, the scene of a deadly attack in 2015 in which 12 people were killed. Al-Qaeda recently renewed calls to attack the newspaper, which now operates out of a secret, heavily guarded location.
Elaine Cobb says four people were wounded in today's knife attack in Paris. The 2020 census will continue for an extra month. That once a decade head count was supposed to end at the end of September, but a federal judge has ordered an extension through October. And another college football conference is back on. It's game on in the Pac-12. They will kick off a shortened 7-game season in November.
I know how badly our student-athletes want to compete as student-athletes for the Pac-12, but that we would only do so when we felt that we could do so safely.
Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott. And still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, naked ballots in Pennsylvania, vaccine task force in New York, and the new app to track COVID. We'll hear about it after weather with Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. We're heading into the first weekend of official autumn, but it's going to have a feel of late summer. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, we will see you then. Let's check the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania. News where you live. Two adults and a one-year-old child were tragically killed in a house fire overnight in downtown Buffalo. Firefighters say that blaze started in a car outside that three-unit apartment. Buffalo police have charged a 25-year-old woman for hitting a protester with her truck. Two nights ago in Niagara Square, those protesters were rallying against racial injustice at the time. Thousands of Pennsylvania ballots are at risk of being thrown out if voters do not follow the rules. The state Supreme Court says naked ballots, as they're known, cannot be counted.
Naked ballots, or ballots without the secrecy envelopes, aren't allowed to be counted. So it's really, really important that folks know the rules.
Suzanne Almedia with Common Cause PA says if you don't return your ballot in its secret envelope, it will not count. And this has major implications in an election where so many are mailing in their vote.
We're already up to over 2 million applications for vote-by-mail ballots. So that's a huge, huge increase over anything that we've seen before.
Polls show fewer than a third of Republicans in Pennsylvania have confidence in the accuracy of mail-in votes. Half of Pennsylvania Democrats plan to vote by mail this year. Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, the focus of a federal probe into discarded military ballots. Several were thrown out by the County Bureau of Elections. Most were votes for President Trump. Two New York State lawmakers are demanding accurate data when it comes to nursing home deaths in New York.
Senators James Tedisco and Sue Serino are calling on Governor Cuomo and State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker to end what they call the stonewalling. The number of nursing home residents who died from COVID-19 is still unclear right now, but critics say the state has not included nursing home residents who were hospitalized before dying from the virus. The senators say the next step is to subpoena that information. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he does not trust what the federal government is saying when it comes to a COVID-19 vaccine, and so he has taken matters into his own hands. The governor's appointed a task force to handle potential problems with a vaccine.
We should have the best vaccination program in the United States of America. I think the way we have handled COVID has been a model for this country. I want New Yorkers to do the same thing with vaccines.
That task force is made up of scientists and doctors. It will advise state leaders on vaccine safety and effectiveness. A separate task force will set up a plan to distribute the vaccine once it is approved. President Trump makes a campaign stop in Harrisburg tomorrow. It's his fifth visit to the Keystone State in the month of September. Pundits predict a tight race there going into November.
It's very tight, and it's hard to know whether the polls are really telling us just how tight it is.
And that's one of the reasons why the president and the vice president have been visiting our state, and as well as Joe Biden.
Michael Geer heads up the Pennsylvania Family Institute.
The turnout that we're seeing at President Trump's events, the one that's scheduled for the Harrisburg Airport this weekend, already big crowds are signing up, and it is an indication of just how tight the race is here in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania's 20 electoral votes could be key to who wins in November. A church at the center of a COVID outbreak in the Southern Tier is trying to remove a closure order issued by Chemung County. The Lighthouse Baptist Church in Horseheads is threatening legal action if the county does not rescind that order. That church is linked to dozens of COVID cases. It says the closure order is a violation of its First Amendment rights. It took 9 fire departments 4 hours to douse a massive blaze at a towing company in the village of Bath, New York. The hazmat building at T&R Towing completely engulfed. When firefighters arrived, flames and heavy black smoke forced the evacuation of area homes. There were several large fireballs that went high into the sky from barrels of oil that exploded. A candidate for state senate in New York is worried about the governor's proposed 20% across-the-board cuts to schools, hospitals, and police departments.
I don't support removing funding from our law enforcement, our healthcare centers, our schools, and I am deeply disappointed that Governor Cuomo is talking about withholding that funding.
That's Democrat Leslie Danks-Burke.
Look, our law enforcement, our schools, our municipalities are tremendously important in our day-to-day lives. And to hold that hostage in a game of chicken among politicians is absurd when so many people are struggling economically right now.
The Cuomo administration is seeking a more than $60 billion bailout from the federal government. If you're planning to travel for the holidays or take a fall road trip, a new update to Google Maps can help keep you informed about the coronavirus. Family Life's Brandon Dixon explains.
Google has added a COVID-19 layer to the Google Maps app for iPhone and Android users, showing where the outbreaks and cases are in each region. The color-coded system shows the density of new coronavirus cases in each region of the state. It tells users if those cases are trending up or down. To use it, just open the app, tap the Layers button in the top right-hand corner, and then click on COVID-19 Info. Google Maps also features coronavirus-related materials on testing centers, alerts about travel restrictions, and mask-wearing mandates. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you kindly, Brandon. Sports next, the Friday edition of the 2-Minute Drill with Sonny Delphia.
Yes, sir. Let's start in Buffalo.
On the way, swing and a miss. He got it. Rafael Ruiz finishes it off, and the Blue Jays are headed to the postseason.
In the postseason for the first time since 2016 with that 4-1 victory against the Yankees, Toronto moved within 2 games of New York, which has lost 4 of 5 and remained 2 games behind the White Sox for the 4th seed in the American League. The Indians completed a 4-game sweep of the struggling White Sox by rallying for a 5-4 victory. Cleveland's 5th consecutive win pulled it within 1 game of Chicago for the 4th seed and home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Idle Minnesota leads the White Sox by 1 game in the American League Central. Pirates blanked the Cubs 7-0. Mets beat the Nationals 3-2. And Yadier Molina with a little history.
Molina serves it into right center. There it is! Hit number 2,000 for Yadier Molina.
Singled twice in that 4-2 win against the Brewers. Doesn't matter what jersey Ryan Fitzpatrick wears, he's going to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, beating them last night 31-13 because...
It speaks to the guys that we have in there, being able to do things like that.
Fitzmagic became the first NFL player since at least 1950 to record at least 1 victory for 6 different teams against a single opponent. The Dolphins, Bengals, Titans, Texans, Jets, and Bills all to beat the Jaguars. To the NBA, Anthony Davis scored 34. LeBron James added 26 to lead the Lakers to a 114-108 victory over the Nuggets and a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals. AD.
For the most part, we played our style, and you know, anytime we put our style
We're a tough team to beat.
The Lakers can reach the NBA Finals for the first time since 2010 tomorrow in Game 5. By the way, Denver will try to rally from a 3-1 deficit for the third consecutive series after coming back to shock Utah and the Clippers. And the Penguins have traded a fan favorite, Patrick Hornquist, being traded to the Panthers. Hornquist helped Pittsburgh host back-to-back Stanley Cups in 2016 and 17. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you very much, Sonny. Have a great weekend. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Friday summer heat. This first weekend of fall, the Capital Connection crew ready to talk politics, and we're celebrating one-hit wonders at the end of the broadcast.
A doctor who was once for and even performed doctor-assisted suicide is warning us all not to go down that road. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Until his death in 2011, Dr. Bernard Nathanson was a champion of the pro-life movement. His 1984 movie, The Silent Scream, helped dispel the idea that the fetus is only a clump of cells. His pioneering work with ultrasound technology paved the way for its widespread use by pro-life advocates. And part of his authority came from his history. He was a co-founder of NARAL. Nathanson worked alongside people like Betty Friedan to liberalize abortion laws. When he had an eventual change of heart, well, it was big news. A new Bernard Nathanson might have just stepped onto the world stage. Dutch physician Bert Kaiser was euthanizing patients nearly 20 years before it became legal in the Netherlands. In fact, he played a significant role in its legalization. As Al Jazeera put it, when somebody wants to die in the Netherlands, Bert Kaiser is often the man they call. Like Nathanson, Kaiser seems to be having second thoughts about the deadly system he helped create. He's especially alarmed at the developments in Great Britain, where Conservative Member of Parliament Andrew Mitchell predicts that euthanasia could be legal by 2025. Mitchell's a Conservative MP who chairs an all-party commission looking into this issue. He told Sky News that he wasn't talking about a massive change, but instead, quote, very, very tight reform. The law he'd propose, says Mitchell, would contain, quote, very strong safeguards, such as limiting euthanasia to those with less than 6 months to live. Patients would also have to get permission from a high court judge and two doctors before proceeding. Now, of course, everywhere euthanasia has ever been legalized, there have been, quote, very strong safeguards, safeguards that are eventually ignored, violated, and discarded. Dr. Bert Kaiser, having witnessed this up close and personal, is now warning British lawmakers to think twice before legalizing assisted suicide. Writing in the Dutch Medical Journal, Kaiser admitted that his British colleagues were correct 2 decades ago when they warned that countries like the Netherlands, quote, who embark on euthanasia, venture down a slippery slope along which you irrevocably slide to the random killing of defenseless sick people, end quote. Far from being confined to the terminally ill, Kaiser admits that the practice for the Dutch has expanded to include older people who find their life no longer has content. Eventually, Kaiser predicts, the Dutch will expand euthanasia to include disabled children and prisoners serving life sentences. In his own words about his own country, quote, every time a line was drawn, it was pushed back. The same lines have also been eliminated in Belgium, maybe more. In Canada, doctors have advocated expanding that country's medical assistance and dying law to include children even without parental consent. At least 8 U.S. states have some form of so-called death with dignity laws, and abuses like we've seen in Oregon are well documented. Inevitably, what starts as legalized suicide ends in legalized homicide. Dr. Bernard Nathanson's change of heart about abortion eventually led him to become a Christian. Maybe God has something similar in store for Bert Kaiser. Let's pray that he does. In the meantime, let's pray that his warnings are heeded. The honesty that Kaiser brings to this discussion about euthanasia is scandalously lacking. And it starts with his use of the word euthanasia. Phrases like doctor-assisted suicide or physician's-assisted suicide or assisted dying, these are Orwellian euphemisms that only obscure what is really happening. The taking of an innocent life based on someone's judgment that it's no longer worth living. The Third Reich had a phrase for this. Lives unworthy of life. Dr. Kaiser has given the world some much-needed clarity. Let's pray that the world listens. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 past the hour, weather with Kevin next.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. It's warm and dry with a good deal of sunshine. High temperatures 70s and low 80s. Tonight, a nice evening, but clouds will increase across Pennsylvania, especially central and eastern Pennsylvania, low temperatures in the mid-50s to the mid-60s. Now, it'll be a fairly cloudy day tomorrow in central and eastern Pennsylvania with increasing sunshine north and west. High temperatures from the low 70s in eastern Pennsylvania to the low 80s in far western New York. On Sunday, good deal of sunshine. High temperatures, mid-70s to the middle 80s.
All right, we'll take it. Thank you, Kevin. And this is the Noon Report. It's Friday, September 25th. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Gear at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Gentlemen, start your engines. There is so much to get to. We're going to try to do it in 10 minutes. And Michael, we'll begin with you. State lawmakers are suing the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. They argue it is the job of that court to interpret law, not to create law. And the buck stops with them when it comes to election law. What's the big issue here in Pennsylvania?
Well, the legislature has been frustrated with the Supreme Court on a number of issues, but specifically in this case, it has to do with the Supreme Court's ruling changing how ballots are going to be counted and which ballots will be counted in the mail-in ballots that is new to Pennsylvania this election season. The law is pretty clear. It was just passed recently, so it's not something that's been sitting on the books for a long time about how the ballots are to be counted and which ones count. And the Supreme Court kind of just decided on their own to say, you know, we're going to change it. We're going to extend the election beyond November 3rd and count ballots afterwards. And even ones that don't have postmarks, we're going to accept those as valid. All of those sorts of things raise questions about whether people can trust the election process in Pennsylvania, and that's why the legislature is suing.
Yeah, and the clock's not on their side. There's less than 40 days to go here, so we'll see if the Third Circuit upholds that law. We're hearing from a lot of state lawmakers. They feel good about their chances with that lawsuit. Let's head on over to Albany. Jason, lots going on. We want to stay with this election theme for a moment. The governor turning a few heads this week, maybe more than a few, when he suggested the National Guard watch over polling places on Election Day. You really think that's going to happen?
I don't know if it's actually going to happen, and I'm not as concerned with the National Guard being there, an observatory role, spectator, if you will, but I think what it does show is every once in a while, we get to see behind Cuomo's curtain. And what it tells us is the governor realizes how much civil unrest is occurring in his state, and he has some level of concern about it. So what we ought to take away from that is that, yes, there is the spirit of divisiveness, the spirit of unrest that is in the state is something that even our governor, though he rarely speaks about it, obviously has an eye on.
Yeah, he also wants to replace the volunteers, the local poll workers, with maybe state or federal poll workers. Why would he make that move?
Well, that concerns me a little more, to be honest, because I know that oftentimes the staffers and the civil service we work with, there's a vested interest in certain political parties being in control. That concerns me a little more. Traditionally, it's been difficult to find poll workers, and I think there was a fear that with all the pandemic talk that it would be hard to find poll workers. But the reality is that is not true. What's being reported across the state is that there has been a surge in volunteer poll worker turnout. And so that's very encouraging for those of us involved in civics here in our state.
Yeah, they're talking about 40,000 poll workers may be needed in Pennsylvania to count all those absentee ballots, Michael. But the president has been in your state no fewer than five times in the month of September. He'll be there again tomorrow in Harrisburg. Your sense of just how tight the race is in Pennsylvania?
It's very tight, and it's hard to know whether the polls are really telling us just how tight it is. And that's one of the reasons why the president and the vice president have been visiting our state, and as well as Joe Biden. But the notable difference is the turnout that we're seeing at President Trump's events, the one that's scheduled for the Harrisburg airport this weekend. already big crowds are signing up, and it is an indication of just how tight the race is here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the president was in the Pittsburgh area this week, Jason. A lot of people laughed it off as a joke when he hinted that New York might be in play in November. He lost that state by 23 points to Hillary Clinton, but he did win, I think, something like 46 of the 62 counties. Do you think New York will be closer this year than it was 4 years ago?
Well, I think probably when the president is talking about New York in play, it's not so much the presidential level. He may win 50 counties this particular election cycle, but he's probably still not going to win the state. What will be in play, though, are the congressional seats across the state. And where Trump does well in those nearly 50 or 50-plus counties in the state could prove well for Republican members of Congress and every other candidate down ballot from there. That's what I think is in play this particular election.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to vote, because of those down ballot races. Let's talk about the huge story this week, the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And all of a sudden, maybe we have our October surprise in September, Michael. The ramifications of this pick could not be more significant in an election year. We'll know who she is tomorrow. So how does this change the trajectory of the November 3rd election?
Well, it is a kind of a surprise wild card that's been thrown into this, and ultimately what the trajectory is remains to be seen. But it looks like the stars are aligning related to a Senate vote that will get President Trump's nominee up for a vote. And unless there's some big bombshell that drops, it's quite likely the nominee will be confirmed. But what that means for the election remains to be seen. I think the Supreme Court has been big for President Trump. The Supreme Court issue in 2016 was key in turning voters out, especially evangelical voters. And how that plays this time around and whether that gins up blue state voters remains to be seen.
Yeah. Do you think that the confirmation will be over with before November 3rd?
I'm thinking that it will. I think that Mitch McConnell and the way the Senate is setting things up suggests that I think that they understand what's at stake and will move quickly.
Well, let's get Jason's thoughts on that as well. You know, a lot of pundits say it was the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation proceedings that saved the Senate for Republicans 2 years ago. Jason, it'd be really interesting to get your thoughts on this. I mean, I don't remember the last president that had three Supreme Court picks. Maybe there was one. I don't remember who that was. But this seems to be unprecedented territory. What are your thoughts overall with coronavirus, with all the racial unrest in this country right now, and now this huge decision at the high court?
Yeah, well, I'm old enough to remember when coronavirus was an election issue. I mean, you know, this is I think what happened with the Supreme Court announcement now and what has happened is something that frankly no one could have timed except God. And I'm going to be more bullish on this. I think that what we're looking at is probably an October 26th vote just before the election. And I think what will happen is that will remind the Trump voters why they supported President Trump in 2016 and drive them to the polls in 2020. If a president can have three Supreme Court picks in his first term, imagine what a second term could mean for that court. And I think that's what's going to bring his base back unified to vote on November 3rd. And I think it's going to make a huge difference in this election.
Yeah, one evangelical leader said all of a sudden coronavirus is background music. We'll see. But this is huge in 2020. While we're talking 2020, Michael, you have an election toolkit for churches. It's on your website. We'll give that address at the end of the broadcast here. What is that? How does it work? And why was this necessary to put together?
Well, Kurt Weaver, who heads our Church Ambassador Network, put this together for pastors and churches so they have the tools that are necessary in this unusual election season. What makes it unusual in Pennsylvania is the fact that for the first time is we have early voting, which involves deadlines related to requesting ballots and all of those things. So there's explanations as to how people can access those ballots, what the deadlines are for voter registration. There's voters' guides in there from Pennsylvania Family Council and from Family Research Council and other materials, including graphics and things that pastors and churches can use to educate the congregation about elections in Pennsylvania 2020.
All right, let's talk COVID for just one last moment here, Jason, before we go. You know, one of the issues that kind of flew under the radar during this ongoing national conversation is the fact that now Governor Cuomo might mandate a flu shot for all kids your concerns here?
Well, I think that, again, we see government overreach. We saw that, you know, it was only a year or so ago, we saw the repeal of the religious exemption for vaccinations, and now that's already being expanded to include flu shots. And so the real question is, where does this lead? We're hearing in school districts around the state, but most notably in Buffalo, in your listening area, that where students have reached their 14 days of school and they are not vaccinated, even though they are learning remotely, they are being denied access to their online curriculum lessons. That makes no sense whatsoever, and it does not help education of students. Mm. So the indoctrination needs to stop, and the education needs to get started in these schools.
All right, well, that is all the time we have this week. It's the fastest 10 minutes in radio, but so many more issues we couldn't get to. If you want to know more about the good work going on at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, Jason, where can folks find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
Stay informed on the issues in Pennsylvania as well. Michael Gear, your site, sir?
PAFamily.org.
All right, thank you, guys. Capital Connection comes your way Fridays during the noon report or online anytime, FLN.org/podcast. Click on the news icon.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We expect summer-like weather for this first official weekend of autumn. High pressure will bring generally fair skies, although there will be some cloud cover for a while, especially in central and eastern Pennsylvania. Our next shot at any significant rainfall, that's later next week with a major shift in the pattern toward cooler and wetter. But for this afternoon, it's warm and dry with a good deal of sunshine. High temperatures 70s and low 80s. Tonight, a nice evening, but clouds will increase across Pennsylvania, especially central and eastern Pennsylvania, low temperatures in the mid-50s to the mid-60s. Now, it'll be a fairly cloudy day tomorrow in central and eastern Pennsylvania with increasing sunshine north and west. High temperatures from the low 70s in eastern Pennsylvania to the low 80s in far western New York. On Sunday, good deal of sunshine. High temperatures mid-70s to the middle 80s.
All right, Kevin, finally at noon. Today is National One-Hit Wonder Day. I get knocked down, but I get there's one, and every September 25th, we pay tribute to the musicians who became famous by having just one big hit. And there's another. Rolling Stone magazine says the most popular one-hit wonders of all time are Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. Love that group. Come on, Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. And this classic from a Norwegian band called Aha. There they are, the top three one-hit wonders of all time, according to Rolling Stone. And that's all the time we have today for Friday, September 25th. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.